When I was walking up the parking lot from my car to the building a little bit earlier this morning, I was just reminded of the fact that you all were doing the same thing. And not at the same time, but every one of you that are in this room, and that you took a few steps at least, depending on where you park, to be able to get inside of the building. Now, the reason why that we're all walking in the human family, with the exception of those, of course, who are unable because of various reasons, but the reason why we're walking is because one day we learned how to do that. And I don't really remember that day, and you probably don't either, but there's a day when you learned how to walk. That is when you were born with everything you needed to be able to walk, and that is nothing had to be added, and you just had to learn how to do it. And even so it is in the family of God. We've been learning a lot about the family of God, and ladies and gentlemen, you, as you know, we've discovered those who are part of the family of God are characterized by their obedience to the Father's will. And that is, they've repented and turned to Christ, which is the Father's will in Matthew 12. And that they've experienced a new birth. That is, we all have a spiritual birthday on that day, on that occasion when you turned to Christ and rested your faith in Him. You became a brand new creature, born again on that day. You experienced the new birth. And ever since you've been born again, we all enjoy the same favorite food. And that is, like newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And then there's all these personal talks, and that is that we love to talk to our Father. There's something on the inside of us, or as we discovered in Galatians 4:6, there's someone on the inside of us who has connected our hearts to heaven so that we can talk to God. It's the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, in our hearts crying, Abba, Father. One of the things that characterizes the family of God is we don't just say our prayers, but we walk with God. We experience God in prayer. And then there are all these long walks that you and I have been talking about over the past few services. And as Paul writes about it in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse number 1, where he describes what it was like when he was in the city of Thessalonica, when he took the gospel there, and there were some people that got saved, and how that they were taught by him. He taught them, he said, how to walk and to please God. And he taught them how to walk with God. That is, those who were born again in the city of Thessalonica. And even so it is in the family of God, and that is just like our physical family, and that is in the family of God, we're all learning how to walk with God. And we're going to be learning that the rest of our life, just as Peter, we looked at his example, and he just had to continually be taught how to follow after or to walk with the Lord Jesus, and even so we as well. And we're in for the long walk. And that is, we're like Enoch who walked with God. He walked with him all the way to heaven one day. God finally just took him. And we're kind of like Noah who walked with God. As a result of that, he walked right into an ark that he built. And then he walked right back out of the ark and replenished the earth. He was in for the long walk. And even so, we are as well. I'm talking about walking with God the rest of our lives. And that is, when God saves you and you become a part of the family of God, you are connected to your Father. And listen, He wants you to walk with Him. And He wants you to walk with Him for the rest of your life. He doesn't want you to walk away. He doesn't want you to walk in another direction. He wants you to walk with Him. And listen, one of the things that characterizes the family of God is there's a desire on the inside of us because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's a desire on the inside of us also to be able to walk with God. Now, we've been trying to discover what that means. And that is, I'm like many of you, I really want to walk with God. As a matter of fact, it is one of the primary goals, one of the things I want to do more than anything else in life is just to walk with God now that I'm saved. And so I'm trying to learn how to do that. It's not something you and I automatically know like when we were born. We don't automatically know how to walk. We have to learn how to walk with God. And I've been trying to look at the Bible and find out what does the Word of God say about walking with God. Here's what we've discovered so far. And I've said to you that if we're going to walk with God, then we've got to walk by faith. The Bible says that we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith, and we looked at some examples of that in Hebrews 11. You can't walk with God until you learn how to walk by faith. I also said to you that if you and I are going to walk with God, we got to walk in newness of life. And as you can't walk in the old path, but you got to walk in the new. Put off the old and put on the new. We spent some time learning about that based on Romans 6:4. I said to you in the last service that we need to walk in the Spirit. That is, if we're going to walk with God, we've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit, like Paul wrote to Galatians about, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we spent the entire service this past Wednesday night just talking about walking in the Spirit. That is, you got to learn how to follow after and stay in step with the person of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Walking in, you can't walk with God unless you walk in the Spirit. So let me just say to you in the service this morning, another aspect of walking with God that I've learned about is not only do you have to walk by faith and walk in newness of life and walk in the Spirit, but we also must walk in good works. You can turn over to Ephesians chapter number 2, and while you're turning there, I'm going to say to you that the book of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, there's a strong emphasis on the idea of walking with God. Walking with God. As a matter of fact, that emphasis begins in the second chapter specifically, but listen, it is explained thoroughly in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book of Ephesians. Now, I don't have time in this series of messages to deal with all of that. That would be another series of messages within a series of messages, and if you keep doing that, you never get to the end of it. But nevertheless, I've got to speak to you from the book of Ephesians for a little while about walking with God from that book, and it begins as Paul describes in Ephesians chapter number 2. He introduces the idea of walking in good works. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 10, and I'll probably back up in just a moment. For we are His workmanship. Now, this is talking about what God did. That is, we are His workmanship, the Bible says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That is, walking in those good works that he's describing here in this verse. It's an interesting verse when the Bible says that we are His workmanship. That word that is translated there is the word from which we get the word poem from. And that is, we are God's poem. God has written a poem. And listen to me now, you're it. And you didn't know, you said, Pastor, I'm not much of a poet, but actually you are a poem. You are God's poem. You are His workmanship. And that is, a God did something wonderful. He produced something wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, and it's you. That is, if you're saved, then that means that God did a work on the inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, that He personally has written out Himself. God did a work in you, and it's a good work that He did on the inside of you whenever He saved you. Yet as you are His workmanship. Now, the reason why this verse is important is because the apostle has just gotten done telling us that we are not saved by our works. As a matter of fact, he just wrote in the previous verses, in verse number 8, he said, for by grace are you saved. That is, through faith. That is, the only way to be saved is by grace. That is a gift that we have not earned and do not deserve. And the only way to receive this gift is through faith. That is, it is by trusting or believing in what Christ has already done. It's not of yourselves. Listen to me now. Salvation is not anything of yourselves. Say, Pastor, what do I need to do to be saved? I got great news for you. That is, you can do the one thing that you can do without doing anything and just believe the gospel. That it's by faith that you can receive this gift that is provided. It is the gift. Listen to me now. It is the gift of God. It is grace. It's not of works. The Bible says in verse number 9, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. That is, salvation is not anything that you and I do, ladies and gentlemen, but it's all about what Jesus did when He went to that cross, died for us on that cross, and was raised the third day. And when God saves somebody, He saves them through faith, not by works, not by doing anything, but by simply resting your faith and trust in what Jesus did on that cross. And listen, when God saves you, He does a really good work on the inside of you. And the reason why He does that, and the reason why it's such a great work, ladies and gentlemen, is because the Bible says in verse number 10, we are His workmanship. That is, He does all the work. He did the work at the cross in the Son. He does the work of conversion by the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, brings us to the point of lostness, brings us to the point of believing. And when you and I surrender, when we yield, when we rest in what Jesus did on the cross, then, ladies and gentlemen, we become what the Bible says, created in Christ Jesus in verse number 10. Now that little phrase there, created in Christ Jesus, describes to us why it is that this is a great work of God, that we are His poem or His workmanship. We become a part of a brand new creation whenever God saved us. You know that one of these days God is going to make all things new. And there is going to be a new heavens and a new earth. I want good news for you. God has already began that newness. That is, the new creation is already underway, and you're it. If you're a child of God, God made you a brand new creature in Christ. Well, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so not only is there going to be a new heavens and a new earth, but there's already a new creature right now sitting in this building, and it may well be you if you're saved. It is you if you're saved. A brand new creature in Christ. You're part of a brand, listen, you're part of a new humanity in which there is not the, with the old divisions between male and female and between different races and nationalities, but we are all one in Christ Jesus, a brand new creation in Christ, a brand new humanity, ladies and gentlemen. God has already begun the new, and it is you. You're a brand new creature in Christ. And listen to me now, those who are brand new creatures in Christ, they are characterized by good works. And that is, they are, the Bible says that God has before ordained. He's already predetermined this. He's already nailed it down. God has already decided that everyone who is a new creature in Christ will walk in good works. That is, the direction of their life from the moment of their conversion is going to be all about good works. Now listen, it wasn't that way before our conversion. You say, well, Pastor, I've been walking in good works all my life. Then you just might as well throw your Bible away, because it must not be true then, because that's not what it says here. And that is, you were not walking in good works prior to your conversion. The Bible says in verse number one of this same chapter, and you hath he quickened or made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past, that is before you were quickened and made alive, before your conversion, you walked, listen to the direction of your walk. Here's how you walked. You walked according to the course of this world. That is, prior to our conversion, ladies and gentlemen, you and I were not walking into good works. We were walking according to the course, the direction, the path that the world is taking. You and I were just living a life that is characterized by the world in which we were raised. We were living like the old world, the old creation, and not the new. You were living like your friends were. You were acting like your friends were. You were acting like your mom and your dad. Your mom and dad that raised you, or whoever raised you, you just acting like them and acting like your family and acting like the world around you and whatever TV shows you watched and programs that you like and games that you play. All of those things shaped your life and made you what you are and set the direction for your life. You say, well, Pastor, is there anything wrong with that? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me now. The world is under the judgment of God. It is a world, ladies and gentlemen, that is controlled by the God of this age. It is a world system that is corrupt through and through, and you and I were influenced in walking according to this corrupt world system that we live in. We were acting like the world. We were living like the world. Listen to me, man, we were going in the direction that the world was going in, and what your friends were doing, and the ungodliness and the corruption, you're bowing down to it. Listen, we were just living like an ungodly, corrupt world that is in rebellion against God. And we fit right into it. You fit right into it. Now listen, you may not have done everything bad that everybody else did, but you had the potential of it. And by the way, you still do, because of your flesh. You are walking according to the course of this world. That's the direction of your walk. The Bible goes on and it makes, and listen, it even gets worse in verse number two, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Listen now, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now that little phrase there, as many of you already know, the prince of the power of the air is describing the devil or Satan. And the Bible says that you and I were not only walking according to the world's direction, but we were walking, ladies and gentlemen, according to the devil's direction as well. We were following after him. And the reason why, as I've tried to explain, is because the world, ladies and gentlemen, is his system of deception and corruption, is a world system designed by the prince, the one who is the powerful one, the one prince and power of the air. We were living that kind of a life. The Bible says the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that is, this is the spirit that is at operation on the inside of the children of disobedience. Say, well, I was not a child of disobedience. Yes, you were. You were the descendant of the one who disobeyed God. Listen, a child of disobedience, children of disobedience, simply means this: somebody disobeyed God. And I know what his name was, don't you? His name was Adam, and he had a wife named Eve, and they disobeyed God, and you and I are their children. We are the descendants of those who disobeyed God, and that same spirit of disobedience is dwelling on the inside of us. That is what they had. It dwells in us. That is, we also are disobedient. You say, Pastor, I sure am mad at Adam and Eve because of what they did when they sinned against God, but you got the same spirit they had. You are just like, you and I are just like them. Listen, if Adam and Eve hadn't have sinned, you would have. I would have. And that is, I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, how we were living or walking prior to our conversion. We were walking according to the course of the world. We were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that, ladies and gentlemen, is dwelling in all of the children of disobedience, all the descendants of Adam and Eve. We're all in that same boat. You say, well, Pastor, that's not me. Then who did you descend from? If it wasn't Adam and Eve, then tell me who it was. I'd like to meet you. I'd like to know you a little bit better. Because that means you're not human. You must be from Mars or some faraway planet. I don't know who you, where you came from, but listen to me now. I have a feeling that every one of us, that our roots, our ancestry goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. We are their descendants, and we are human beings. And as a result of that, dwelling in us is this spirit of disobedience. We are disobedient to God. We are walking according to the course of the world. And listen to me now, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is, that we were experiencing demonic influence in our lives. You see, there was no demonic influence in my life. Well, of course there was. The Bible here tells us that was where we were prior to our conversion. In verse number 3, he goes on, he says, among whom the children of disobedience, that is the world that you and I lived in, filled with human beings that descended from Adam and Eve, that are in rebellion and disobedient to God, among whom also we had our conversation, that's our manner of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That is, the Bible tells us here, this is what it looked like as you and I lived our life among the children of disobedience, that is, the descendants of Adam and Eve, living in this world system under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. Here's what it looked like. Our life, ladies and gentlemen, centered around fulfilling our lust, the lust of our flesh and mind. That is, the sinful desires of our fallen nature. You say, I don't know what kind of desires you're talking about. Well, there's lots of different ones. There's just sinful desires. We might call them selfish desires. And that is just the desire to fulfill the self-life. That is, I just want self-gratification and self-satisfaction, and I want to be prosperous, I want to be popular, and I want lots of pleasure. That is just the life that centers around me and what pleases me. The self-life, the lust, the desires of my fallen nature, of my flesh, and of my mind. That's how life is. That's the direction of our life prior to our conversion. It is a quest to fulfill my sinful desires, my selfish desires. We were, the Bible says here, prior to our conversion, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others, that is a we, ladies and gentlemen, are the recipients of the wrath of God. We are under, listen, prior to our conversion, I want you to get this, we were under the wrath of God because of our rebellion and disobedience going all the way back to Adam and Eve. We were not God's friends, we were not God's buddies, but we were under His divine wrath because of our rebellion, condemned before God because of our disobedience. I'm trying to describe to you the direction of our life prior to meeting the Lord. But the Bible says in verse number 4, it says, but God, that is God who's rich in mercy. Listen, mercy is God, ladies and gentlemen, not giving us what we deserve. Listen, God decided instead of giving us what we deserved, that He would love us. The Bible says, but God is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we're dead in sins, has quickened us together, made us alive with Christ. By grace you're saved. And He didn't stop there. He raised us up together, ladies and gentlemen, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Yes, God extended not only mercy by not giving us the wrath that we deserved, but He expended His grace to us and gave us as a free gift through our Lord Jesus Christ, a free gift. He made us alive in Christ. He saved us by His grace, quickened us and made us alive, ladies and gentlemen, forgave us of all of our sins, and accepted us as His own children, raised us up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us here. God saved us by His grace. And we became brand new creatures in Christ. And as a result of that, we got a brand new walk now. We were walking according to the course of the world. We were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, children of disobedience. That is, we were going in a direction that was just all about fulfilling our own selfish, sinful lust. That's the direction we were going, and that was the direction of our walk. And then God showed up with His mercy and His grace. God showed up, ladies and gentlemen, with a wonderful gift. That is the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. And listen, you might have heard the good news, and the Spirit of God pricked your heart and worked in your life, and He brought you to the point of faith. That is, to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus. No good works? Absolutely not. How can those of us who are walking in the direction of disobedience do anything good anyway? We don't. Everything that we have done, even the things that the world says is good, ladies and gentlemen, is tainted by our selfishness. What I'm trying to describe to you is the direction that we were in so that you understand when God saved you and made you a brand new creature in Christ, old things are gone and you became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, that one of the new things is you got a brand new walk. That your life is going in a different direction now. Instead of walking according to the course of the world, that is according to the prince and power of the air, now the Bible says, now you're walking in good works. That as you weren't saved, you were His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God has before ordained that you should walk in them. That is, God already made up His mind. He already established this. That is, everybody who gets saved is no longer going to walk according to the course of this world, but is going to now walk in good works. God did such, and the reason why is because God wrote a poem, because God, listen, did a great work on the inside of you. And that's the reason why He turns you around. It set you in a brand new direction and gave you a brand new walk so that now you're walking in good works. Now, that's true of all of God's family. If you're part of the family of God, then it's true about you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure that, you know, I'm walking in good works, but you are. Listen, if not, then you're not part of the family. God has made up His mind. God preordained. He foreordained. He decided it, predetermined it. It's not an option. For those who are in the family of God, walking good works is not optional. It is predetermined that it'll be that way. It's kind of like maybe the family you were born in, and that is, it might be that your family has sort of a unique kind of walk. And maybe you don't want to walk that way. Maybe you want to walk like somebody else. You don't like the way that you walk. Now listen, it's true. I know it's hard for us to see that when we're in our family structure, but a lot of times families have a certain way they walk. And there are some families, there are members of the family, they got this fast little walk. And you can tell whose child they are and the reason why they walk just like Daddy did. You know what I'm talking about. There may be others got this just kind of a slow, sauntering kind of walk, and everybody just kind of walks that way in the family. Well, in the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, we have a certain walk that characterizes us. And in your family, you might want to change your walk, and that is, walk a different kind of way. So I don't really want to walk like I do. Listen to me now. In the family of God, there's a certain kind of walk, and one of the ways that we walk is in good works. We walk in good works. What does that look like? I mean, walking in good works. I mean, what does it look like practically? That is, in the family of God, if my direction has changed from walking according to the course of the world to walking in good works, I mean, kind of how would that look in my life if I walked in good works as a child of God? Well, according to what we're reading here in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, it's really a reflection of our salvation. It's a reflection of the work that God did on the inside of us when He saved us. That is, there's a connection here between workmanship and works, and that is, God did a work in you so that now He is doing good works through you. The good works that we do, ladies and gentlemen, are just really a reflection of the good work that God did on the inside of us. It's us living out what it is that happened to us when God saved us. Just living that out in our life. That is, the good work, the creation, the new creation that we became in Christ being played out being lived out in our life. That's really what good works really are. We see that again in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Listen to what it says. It says, who, or Jesus, gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, or ladies and gentlemen, a purchased people, zealous. Listen to this. Zealous of good works. The Bible here connects our good works, our zeal for good works, with our redemption and our purification that we received when God saved us. When God saved you, when he redeemed you and purified you, he placed a zeal on the inside of you. And that is a zeal for good works. And that is that you are red hot for good works. That's the idea. And that you have an intense desire, an eager desire on the inside of you to do what is good. That is to reflect that good work that God did whenever he saved you. When the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you and you became a brand new creature in Christ, just living that out in your life. Well, the Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that when God saved you and he did that good work on the inside of you, that the Spirit of God indwelt you from that moment. He lives on the inside of you. And listen, the Spirit of God who's living on the inside of you produces fruit in your life. And you and I know what the fruit of the Spirit is, don't we? Galatians 5 tells us in verse number 22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and faithfulness and listen to me now, and goodness and meekness and temperance. Did you know that goodness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit? Think about it now. When God saved you, he did a good work on the inside of you. And ever since your conversion, God has been producing good in you by the person of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit being goodness, being produced on the inside of you. Hey, love is living on the inside of you. Joy is living on the inside of you. Peace is living on the inside of you. Hey, listen to me now. Faithfulness and gentleness and goodness is living on the inside of you. All of the fruit of the Spirit abiding on the inside of you. He's just producing goodness on the inside of you. And when you live that out in your practical everyday life, that's what it means to do good works. God did such a work in you and continues to do a work in you in the person of the Holy Spirit, so that you're able to live that out in your life. One of the things that the Bible describes, that Paul describes as being that which is good in the sight of God, ladies and gentlemen, is just being submissive to the authority over us. You say, how do I live out these good works? You got to learn to live a submissive life, a submissive to that authority that God has placed over you. For example, in Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 3, listen to what it says. Romans 13:3, rulers are not a terror of good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power, that is the power of the authority over us? Do that which is good. Listen, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Talking about the authority over us in the world, that is the government over us in the world, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says that God has established human government for the purpose, ladies and gentlemen, of being a terror for those who do evil, but also to bless those who do good. And so the Bible is indicating to us here, ladies and gentlemen, it's indicating to us that the purpose of human government is to serve, it is a minister of God to those who do good. So do good. And the idea is to be submissive to the authority over us. You want to do what is right? Then be submissive to the authority over us. That's what the apostle says, that it's good in the sight of God. That means being submissive to human government. And the Bible tells us to do that. You say, Pastor, I don't like the government. Listen to me now. The Bible commands us, if we're going to do what is good, that we need to be submissive to the authority that is over us. That is, God's people, the family of God, is not a fellowship that's in rebellion against authority, but listen to me now, has learned to be submissive to authority. And that's how we live out these good works. That's true, ladies and gentlemen. Peter writes about it in 1 Peter chapter number 2, and he tells us in verses 12 through 15 that I don't have time to read, to be submissive to those in authority over us. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. And not only is that true, ladies and gentlemen, with regard to human government, but it's also true in the workplace. That is, he writes to slaves in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, and he tells us, Peter does, he tells those who are slaves who work and are under the authority of someone else, and that particular day, that was sort of the workforce, and he tells them to be submissive to those who are over them. And again, that's good in the sight of God. That is, to be submissive in the workplace. God's people are not characterized by rebellion in the workplace, but submission to those who are over them. That's good works in the Bible. Not only that, but it's also true in the family as well. That is, you know this, don't you? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, in Ephesians 6, 1, the Bible tells us about being submissive to those who are over us in the family. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord, for this is right. That is, this is the right thing to do. This is the good thing to do. That is, parents who are over their parents, children being submissive to their parents, and wives being submissive to their husbands, and husbands being submissive to the Lordship of Christ. This is good. Talking about good works being carried out in the society around us, in the workplace where we work, and also in our homes or families where we live. Living out the new life that we have in Christ like new creatures. You say, well, Pastor, that would be in the workplace where I live. You ought to just, man, you ought to hear the way people talk, and you ought to hear the way the rebellion against those who are in authority over us. But listen, you're a brand new creature in Christ, and you ought to live out the good works by being submissive in your workplace and submissive, ladies and gentlemen, in the government, submissive in our own homes. That's what the Bible tells us here, submitting to God's authority. So I want to do what is right, good works. Well, listen to me now. If you want to do what is right, good works, then you might need to just clean things up a little bit. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. That is, if you're not going to do good works, and listen, that's what God's purpose for us, to walk in good works. What are those good works? Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't leave us any doubt that it's being submissive to authority. And it's also purging or cleaning out God's vessels. Listen to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 21. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and listen to this now, and prepared unto every good work. You see it there? Good works. Ready to do good works. He's just using the idea of a house, and in that house there's lots of different kinds of vessels. There's vessels of gold and silver. There's also vessels of wood and earth. Some are honorable vessels and some are dishonorable. And the Bible says he needs to purge out the dishonorable vessels so that he can be prepared into every good work. That is, it's got to clean out. You got to clean out the house. Maybe some of you know what that's like, don't you? You've been thinking about it for a while. And that is, that there's just an area of your house where it just needs to be cleaned out. And it might be a closet, it might be a shed, it might be just that storage room, or it might be something else, but there's areas all of us have that need to be cleaned up and cleaned out so that you can have, so that everything can look good. Well, listen to me now. God wants for you to be involved in good works, and that means you got to clean some stuff out of your life so you can be everything God wants you to be. Doing that, which is, that's a good work. You say, what is a good work? I'll tell you what it is, being submissive to those in authority over you and cleaning out the trash and the junk out of our life. That's a good work. That'll prepare you for good works. Did you know that following God's will is a good work? The will of God, ladies and gentlemen, is good. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2 that the will of God is indeed good. It's perfect. The will of God, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When Paul was praying for the believers at Colossae, here's what he prayed in Colossians 1 verse 9. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled, listen now, filled with the knowledge of His will, that you might be full of the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. If you're full of the knowledge of His will, ladies and gentlemen, then you can walk with the Lord, you can be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is, just following God's will. That's a good work. Knowing the will of God and following after His will. How do I do good works? Well, you just be submissive to those in authority around you. Stop being a rebel and start submitting to those who are in authority around you, and start cleaning out the junk out of your life, getting rid of all of that junk, and start following God's will. And by the way, you can just start sharing your blessings. Start sharing what it is that God has blessed you with other people. Paul wrote about that in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. In 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 17, he says, charge them or command them that are rich in this world. Now, when we're talking about rich in those who are rich in this world, here's what it means. It's talking about those who have more than enough for their daily needs. If you've got enough for your daily needs with some extra, then that would be considered to be rich. Well, charge them or command them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, there it is, and be rich in good works. Those who have a little bit extra, be rich in good works by doing this, by being ready to distribute and willing to communicate or share. That is, taking what it is that we have extra and using it to bless somebody else, sharing it with somebody else. The Bible says here, that is good works for God's people. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that just obeying God's word, is good work. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy about, and when he told him in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that as the last days continue to progress, Timothy, what you need to do is you need to continue in the Word of God. The things that you've learned, the things that you've heard, the things that you've been taught, that is from a child, the very Word of God, the Scriptures, stay with the Scriptures, and the reason why is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that you, Timothy, the man of God, might be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, the Word of God will equip you to do all these good works. If you'll just obey God's Word, Timothy, stick with the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Don't deviate from the Word of God. And it will help you, it will profit you, and it will prepare you to do everything that God wants you to do. Listen, you want to do good works, just obey God's Word. That is, just read, understand the Scriptures, and obey what God is saying. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I can do good works by simply shining the light that God placed on the inside of us? You remember this passage, don't you, in Matthew chapter number 5? In Matthew chapter number 5, it says in verse number 14, it says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men." You that are light of the world, let your light so shine before men. Listen to this now, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do we walk in good works? By letting our light shine. That is, God lit a light on the inside of you when He saved you, and you need to let it shine. Don't hide your light. That is, the idea is this, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, you don't light a candle to put a bushel over it. You don't light a light to hide the light. Whenever you go home and you turn your light on, listen to me now, you don't black out the light. You want the light to shine. Even so, God has lit a light on the inside of you when He saved you. And so let your light shine. And if you will, then people will be able to see your good works and to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know that, listen to me now, you say, what are these good works? If I'm walking good works, what do I need to do? You need to be submissive to the authority that God's placed over you. And be able to clean out or purge the vessel that you are in, and follow God's will and share God's blessings and just obey God's word and shine God's light. You know, you can just attend God's house. Well, the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse number 24, it says this, says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love," listen now, "and to good works." So why don't we just stop and consider each other and kind of provoke or push each other along in there of love and good works. You know, one of the ways that you and I can do good works is by encouraging one another in the house of God to do what is right, to do what is good. And so the Bible says that's the reason why, verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is," that is, some already are starting to skip out on the assembly of the church. The church gets together and some folks aren't there. So don't let that happen to you. And the reason why is because we need to be together so we can exhort one another, encourage one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the reasons why that we gather as a church family, ladies and gentlemen, and that is at designated times for designated purposes, is so that we might encourage one another, and so we might encourage one another, according to this verse, in the area of good works. Moving each other along in there of good works. So the Bible says walking, listen, God's purpose for us when it comes to walking with God is to walk in good works. And one of the ways that we receive encouragement and direction about how to do that is by assembling with God's people. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I can, that we can walk in good works by just praying for God's people? Let me show you this verse. This will be my last one. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Pray, 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 pray. For everybody, including kings, verse 2, kings and for all that are in authority, pray for them. that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So pray for everybody, including those who are in authority. Pray for them. Listen to verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You see, if I'm going to walk in good works, what do I need to do? What the Bible tells us here. Here's what's good. And that is to pray. That is to give before God, ladies and gentlemen, with supplication, bringing your needs to God. And to pray with intercession, pleading and praying for others, giving of thanks, and do it for everybody. Pray. If you want to do what is good, you want to walk in good works, then you got to learn how to pray. Now, I spent a whole lot of time talking about praying and talking with God. But listen to me now. When the Bible talks about walking with God, that's the first thing I think of. Walking with God, when I think of walking with God, the first thing that comes to my mind is getting alone with God in prayer. Walking with Him in good works. Getting alone, spending time alone in the presence of our Father. You see, that's how you walk with God. That if you're going to walk with God, you have to walk with Him by walking in good works. It characterizes the family of God. Those who are brand new creatures in Christ. We want to do what's good. You see, Pastor, I fail a lot of times. I know you do. Every once in a while, I stub my toe too. Every once in a while, I trip up a little bit. But listen to me now. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about direction. What direction are you walking in? Those who are walking according to the course of this world, hey, the prince of the power of the air, that's the lost world. When God saved you, He turned you around. He did a great work on the inside of you. He wrote a new poem, and you're it. And now He's turned you around to walk in a new direction. And that direction that you're walking in is you're walking in good works, doing what is right and doing what is good in the sight of God. That's God's purpose. That's the way He wants you to walk. That is indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the long walk for the people of God. Let me ask you this question and I'll be done. What direction are you walking in? Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're saying to us. God, I pray that You do Your work in our hearts, that God, You would operate upon us and within us. Speak to us. God, we need Your help, and I pray, God, that You would help us. Lord, I pray for the people of God that, Lord, You'd help us to evaluate our walk, the direction we're going in. And Father, I pray that You would teach us, Lord, how to walk in good works so that we can become everything, God, You purpose for us to be. Would You bless everyone here? For those that are lost, I pray the Spirit of God that You'd work a work in those hearts, draw those persons to Yourself. God, save them by grace today. We're going to give You the praise for all that You're about to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's all stand together. Mm-hmm.